の手下よ打たれしまてポッキーで感謝したみうちなめね Namaste, Sarasate Deve, Gaudavani, Pacharine, Nirvishesha, Sunyavari, Sastitya Desha, Sarine.
Namaste, Sarasate Deve.
vad för man så blir bra att det charge just då så det ska bli så man kan få sig kanske så att det går samma bra så bra.
Yay.
Har hon så kom till voice för mig. Yay. Mama charge så det blir bra så att det. Yay. Fame så go hos ju Krishna Chaitan na Prabhu Nityan and the Shri Adi Kadatar. Shiva Sari Gaur Bhakti Vinti.
Yay.
Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kundradha Kunti Govardhan Ki.
Yay.
Vrindavan Tham Ki.
Yay.
Pradeep Tham Ki. Yay. Jagannath Ki Ki. Yay. Gangamai Ki. Yay. Namanamai Ki. Yay. Sri Sri Devi Ki. Yay. Bhakti Devi Ki. Yay. Samaveta Bhakta Vrindhi. Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Those fame and unde. Welcome back. So you can give a signal midway again. We've come as far as text 39 in chapter 2. Krishna says, I've explained to you this knowledge through Sankhya. And Prabhupada is careful to point out that the Sankhya mentioned here is not Sankhya philosophy. There's Sankhya philosophy. First of all, there's an atheistic Sankhya philosophy propounded by someone named Kapila. But then there's the actual Sankhya philosophy, or theistic Sankhya philosophy, spoken by Kapila Dev, the son of Devahuti and Karda Muni. But here, Sankhya doesn't mean either one of those. Prabhupada makes that clear in the first word. Here it means analytical study. Sankhya can mean counting. Sankhya can mean essentially analysis. So here, Krishna says, I've described things through analytical study, and now I'm going to explain them in terms of working without attachment to fruitive results. That's buddhi yoga. Working intelligently without attachment. Then he says that neha vikramanasho sti pratyabhaya. There's no loss or diminution in this cultivation of Krishna consciousness. In the sixth chapter, Lord Krishna will make that still more plain. But here, the point is made that there's no loss. Materially, if you, say, start building a building, if you don't finish it, it's all, that's it, lost. But in the material, in the spiritual platform, if you start something, even if you don't finish it, in the next life you get to continue from where you left off. And svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a little, sualpa means, alpa means a little. Here in Bengal, the same word is there, alpa. Just a little. If you're serving for too much for something, alpa, alpa. Little. Sualpa. Just a little bit of advancement can save one from mahato bhaya, the greatest danger, which Prabhupada defines as what? Yeah, falling back down to the lower species where there's no cultivation of spiritual progress. Oh, there's... Yes. Then this next verse, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kuru Nanda Bahu Shaka Vyanantascha Buddhayo Vyavasayana. for those whose intelligence is, you explain the verse. What's your name? Balaram, explain the verse. Loud, that's the first thing.
It's not saying here that those who are on this path, their intelligence is many things.
So that's what it says. Now what does it mean? In your own words, what does it mean?
Person who has strong faith and sufficient consciousness.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
But more down to the ground here, what does it mean?
You have to be strong in that purpose and Krishna consciousness.
Strong in your
purpose and Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, that's what it finally comes down to.
Right.
But there's no mention in the verse of Krishna consciousness. So what's this Bahu Shaka mean? So what's that all about? Is awake here this morning. What's Bahu Shaka? In practical terms, what does Bahu Shaka mean? Bahu Shaka.
Many interests.
Basu.
Many interests.
Yeah, what is that?
Bahu Shaka means all these many branches.
Yeah. But in practical terms, what Vasudeva says, many interests.
Many interests.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Oh, this is interesting.
You can't put all your energy in one. It's all diverted.
You're all over the place. A little of this, a little of that, a little of this, a little of that. Yeah. Yeah, a little, this is interesting. Ooh, I'd like to do this. That looks like fun. And gee, this is interesting. And well, I haven't seen that movie. I mean, I know we're not supposed to watch movies, but this one looks like it's interesting. And, you know, this and that, so many different things. Bahu Shaka. And Ekeha means? One goal. Ekeha. Even business, you know, who's it that makes money? The guy who's obsessed. You know, I gotta make money. One track mind. He winds up making money, maybe. At least he's got a good shot at it. Or the people, just like Arjun, who's learning fighting, practice. At night, practicing. Focus. Anything you do, if you're focused, or just like kids in school, you know, who are the guys who achieve? The guys who are focused, you know, study. You know, we may think they're jerks, but you know, they focus. And the other guys, you know, a little bit of television, a little bit of study, a little bit of girls, a little bit of, you know, this, a little sports, a little, you know, little here, and a lot of nowhere. So Krishna here is saying, focus. Then yes, the application is focus on, of course, Krishna consciousness. The purport here is very significant. Why especially? Yeah, why is it especially significant? Lucy? Prabhupada? He's quoting it. He quotes a lot of purports.
That we have to follow instructions of the spiritual master.
Yeah, but he quotes a lot of purports. What's
what makes this one especially significant?
Did he get inspired?
Yeah, Prabhupada said that he personally took inspiration from this purport. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. My sadhana is to serve the lotus feet of the Lord, to remember and glorify Him as instructed by my Guru. That is also my goal, sadhya. It is my life-sustaining medicine, for I cannot give up the sadhana and the sadhya. This is my most desirable object, my duty, and nothing else is my duty. Nothing else is desired, even in dreams. There may be happiness or sorrow. Samsara may be destroyed or may not be destroyed. That is no loss for me. Let there only be resolute intelligence, fixed in pure bhakti. Quite focused. Ekeha. What is that we're singing in the morning?
Yesha Prashad.
Huh?
Yesha
Prashad. Ah. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kuruya Aikya Ekeha Arna Kuruya Maniya. No other hope, no other aspiration. Let me just fix my mind on the instructions of the spiritual master. Demand it. You know, we may take it,
yeah.
But actually to do that, push everything else out and just fix the mind, that's the secret. So, Yavasayatmika Bhuthir Ekeha Kurunanda Bahushaka Vinantastra Bhutayo Vyavasayana. Now, the next verses, we find ways to be diverted. Yam imam pushpitam bacham prabhadanti avipashpita veda vadarata parta nanyarasti tibarana tamatmana svargapara janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bhulam bhogai sharya gipantasi. There'll be some discussion of the Vedas now. Pushpitam vacham. Pushpitam vacham means what?
Flowery
words. Pushpa means flower. So vacha means words. Pushpitam vacha. Flowery words of the Vedas. Yam imam pushpitam. Pravadanti. Avipaschita. Avipaschit means poor fund of knowledge, inexperienced. Vipaschit means expert, clear in their understanding. And avipaschit not means they don't get it. Avipaschit. Vedavadarata. Vedavadarata is an interesting word. Means interested in the words of the Vedas and not their actual, without getting to the essence of it. Or Vedavadarata, the supposed followers of the Vedas. Supposed followers of the Vedas. Yes, they're very into the Vedas. What's the Vedas? The Vedas are going to heaven. They don't get it. They don't understand. Vedaischa Sarvayaham Eva Veda. Vedas are for understanding Krishna. Vasudeva Para Veda. That they don't understand. Being Abhipashchit, not very clear. They think na anyarastiti. This is it. To perform the rituals, perform pious activities, and go to heaven. Even in other religions, that's sometimes their idea, that if you live a good, you lead a good life, and you'll die and go to heaven. And what happens in heaven? That you know whatever you want. You know. Some religions, they have the picture. There's like the little house and the white picket fence, and you know, there's a little bicycle parked outside, and the dog, woof, woof, you know, the whole suburban scene is recreated in the spiritual world. So they have that. Or we hear from some traditions that you go there and there'll be lots of girls there for you.
Your family's there.
Others, your family is there, and you know, that's somebody's idea of heaven. So that the idea is that heaven is the place where you go and you get your rewards. You know, even they say he's gone to his last reward. You know, that's the idea, that if you lived a good life, a godly life, a pious life, then you go to heaven and enjoy. So that concept is there in the Vedic literature also. That's called Swarg, the heavenly planets, where you go and enjoy. And there are people who are following the Vedas, and they think this is what the Vedas are about. Kamatmana Svargaparam, Janma Karma Phalapradam, Kriya Vishesha Bahulam, Bhogai Sharagatimsati. So they're Kamatmana, they're full of desires. Svargapara, we're going to heaven. Janma Karma Phalapradam. And otherwise, they want good birth here. If I have to take birth again, let me be born in a good family with good money, all of that. Otherwise, let me go to heaven and have all the benefits of that higher birth in the heavenly planets. Kriya Vishesha Bahulam. So they're doing all sorts of rituals and sacrifices and, you know, calling in the Brahmins and doing this ritual and that ritual. Or they're doing all sorts of, you know, according to their religious tradition, whatever it is, all sorts of show. But what is their goal? Gati, bhogaisharya. Bhoga means enjoyment, and aisharya means opulence. That's their goal. I'll go to heaven and live like a king. And there's descriptions of all these things in the Vedas. We were talking yesterday in the Bhakti by Bhav class. This is what Narada condemned Vyasadeva for. You've written all this literature full of talk of heaven and everything. People are just going to get their minds diverted. Bahu shaka hinanta. And they'll miss the real point, Krishna consciousness. Now this comes up. Bhogai sharya prasaktanam. Taya parita chetasam. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Samado nabhidhiyate. Our goal is to have steady, fixed mind, ekeha, one-pointed attention. But for these people it's not possible. Which people are those? Bhogai sharya prasaktanam. Those who are attached to sense gratification. Prasakta, what does pra mean? We've come across this prefix before. Pra?
Over?
Intense, yeah. It's an intensifier. You know, like ultra. You're smart and ultra smart. Or, you know, tasty and ultra tasty. So it's ultra. Pra means ultra. Mucho. Prasakta. Intensely attached. Very, very. There are other part of V means that sometimes. Vimudha. The mudha, but then there's Vimudha. He's particularly stupid. So prasakta. Prasakta means not just attached, but insanely attached. Intensely attached. So attached that he can't get unattached. Prasakta. Prasakta kama bhogeshu vatanti narakeshu. In the 16th chapter of find this word again, prasakta. Bhogaisharya prasaktana. They're very attached to sense gratification and opulence. And these people have that problem. They just can't get it. They can't fix their mind on Krishna because something is here for my enjoyment, something is there for my enjoyment, some opulence, you know. You meet, what is that in the Bible? It's easier for a rich man to go camel to go be, what
the
is
eye
that?
Of a needle.
The eye of a needle than a rich man to go to the kingdom of God. Why? Bhogaisharya prasaktana. It's not a question of Bhagavad Gita or not Bhagavad Gita. Everyone knows this. Every religious tradition, they have this understanding. The people who are too attached to material opulence do not get it. Do not get Krishna consciousness. Very interesting. Now there's also, in the Christian world, it's developed a lot, what they call a prosperity gospel.
Oh, yeah.
Right? God doesn't want you to be poor. God wants you to prosper. Right? And people love it. You know, it's like the fastest growing thing. You know, the churches that, you know, forget all this austerity and humility and poverty kind of stuff. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have the things that, you know, make life comfortable and happy. So again, it's missing the point. The purpose of religion, this is called kaitavadana, cheating religion, aiming at sense gratification. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, vairagya vidya nijabhakti. Okay. But very hard. Yes.
You give the reason that we cannot be fixed in our devotion of faith.
What?
That we are attached to enjoyment.
Yeah, if our minds are attached to sense gratification, then that fixing the mind on Krishna becomes more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Fix on something else.
Yeah, or fix on something else. Or not even fix, but just...
There's so many things in
Bahushaka.
Bahushaka.
Someone gave the image of digging so many holes to get water, so many wells. Never get any water. Just dig one deep enough.
Yeah. So this strong attachment to sense gratification, strong attachment to opulence, is an impediment for spiritual advancement. Somehow we have to loosen that, and we'll come to that, what to do. Trigunya vishaya veda nistrigunyo bhavarjana nirdvandvo nityasattvasto niryoga kshema atmavan. So here it said, what's the subject matter of the Vedas? Yeah, all the stuff that's within goodness, passion, and ignorance. And what is Krishna telling Arjuna to do?
Rise above
all this. Nistraguna. Nistraguna means become transcendental. Nirdvandva, become free from duality. And nitya sattvasto, become situated not in sattvaguna of this material world, otherwise there's no meaning to nistraguna. But nitya sattva, vishuddha sattva, pure goodness, which means the goodness found in the spiritual world. And niryoga kshema atmavan. Don't worry about holding on to anything or getting anything. Just be engaged in devotional service. We'll find that later. What is that? Yoga kshema bahamya. So here, niryoga kshema, don't worry about it. Atmavan. Become fixed up in self-realization. Okay. Any question here? Good. Ya Tavan art udupane sarvata samputodike. Tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmana sivijanata. So here, coming a little bit to your thought, that if you get one big body of water, then you don't have to go around to all the little bodies of water. In the villages, sometimes there's one well. This well is for bathing. And another well, this water is for drinking. You know, this well is not good for drinking, but you can use it for other things. This well for something else. But if you're next to a big, you know, big body of water, a lake, or then you get the water for everything, one go. So similarly, people are going here for this, going here for that, going here for this, going here for that. They're doing, you know, they're worshipping Indra to get rain, they're worshipping Saraswati to get education, they're worshipping Indra for sense gratification, they're worshipping
Brahma for marriage.
Brahma
or Shiva
or Uma, depending who they are, they're worshipping somebody for marriage, they're worshipping somebody to protect their health, they're worshipping somebody else, the sun to protect your health. Arogyam Bhaskaram Ijay, if you want to be free from disease, worship the sun. So they're doing all these different things. But they don't know that if they simply do one thing, they'll get everything. You've branched out your intelligence in all sorts of different directions, and you get a little bit of this, little this, little this, little this, little that. A little chemistry, a little physics, a little astronomy, a little American literature, a little English literature, a little accounting, a little of this, and you miss the main thing. But if you go for the main thing, Krishna consciousness, then everything will be there. So, Brahmanasya Vijayanatham, Brahmanasya, one who knows the absolute truth, Yasmin Vigyata Sarvameva Vigyata Bhavati. You know Krishna, you know everything. So, what is all this going here, going there? Just become self-realized and you'll know everything you need to know. And if you know so many things, but you don't know self-realization, you don't know anything. Clear? Yes? No? Okay. Now we come to the great Hindu mantra. If you meet many people, Hindu people, you'll say, do you know Bhagavad Gita? Yes, I know Bhagavad Gita. What is the purport of Bhagavad Gita? Do your duty. That's the message of Bhagavad Gita. As you do your work. They take that as the karmanye vadikara state. You have to do your work. And that's all they've got out of Bhagavad Gita. You're supposed to do your work. Then the ass is the greatest yogi because he's working very, very hard. Generally, they haven't learned the second line, ma paleshu kadachana. They're less interested in that line, Krishna says. Do your work, but don't be attached to the result. I heard one boy try to explain this. There's the opening of a Indian cultural center in Florida. So they invited a Hindu boy to speak, a Muslim boy to speak, a Jain boy, a Sikh boy to speak, a Christian boy to speak. So everybody said something. These were all college students. So the one who had the hardest time was the Hindu boy, because he was trying to explain this verse. He made this theme that actually you should be working, everyone should be working, but you shouldn't care about the result of your work. Here's this guy who's, you know, like working like a dog on his post-grad degree at the University of Florida, and he's trying to tell us that he doesn't care about the results of his work. And he was basically tripping all over his shoelaces, trying to somehow or other put it together. That, you know, as if like, you work, but you don't think about the result, but because you're not thinking about the result, you know, somehow or other, you are thinking about it, but you're not thinking about it. So, people have a hard time understanding, how can I be detached from the results of work? And actually, it's very difficult to be detached from the result. Why should I work if I'm not going to get anything out of it? So, it all becomes comprehensible when we understand that the work result belongs to Krishna. That the work should be offered to Krishna. Otherwise, it's very difficult to be detached from the results. Although Krishna will later recommend that if you can't be engaged in devotional service, then just work and don't worry so much about the result. Work for some good cause. But generally people are interested in the results of their work. So they need understanding how to work in such a way that he's detached. But this is recommended. Let's see. Yes. We discussed that yesterday, that actually the Vedic culture is such that I'm trained that I should work without regard for the results. I may die, I may live, but I have to do my duty. We discussed that yesterday. The policeman doesn't think, well, wow, if I get into this fight, I'm going to die. He has to think that I have to go after this guy because he's a bad guy. And I'm the police, it's my job. What if he shoots back? Well, then he shoots back, but it's my job. That's the idea of detachment. I just have to do my work and not worry about what the result may be for me, gain or loss. Or the judge. He has to make the decision, and even if it means he becomes unpopular, even maybe, you know, somebody may come at night and shoot him or whatever, but he has to decide, he has to go by the law. He has to go by the law. Yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyatva dhananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatam yoga. In Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan is explaining, if I have it right, that here we're talking about, is it Baladeva or Vishnu? I've forgotten that. We're talking about Nishkam Karma Yoga. Performing your duties without prasakta, this intense attachment to the result. It's my duty, I have to do it. Yogastha Kuru Karma. Be situated in equilibrium. Sangam Chaktva, giving up attachment. Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva. Don't worry about successful or not successful. You just have to do your duty. Samatvam, this characteristic of being equal, equipoised in all circumstances. This is yoga. This is yoga. Yes? Karmakanda? No, actually, yes and no. Yes, you can say that the Karmakanda section of the Vedas is trying to lift one to the point of this point, detachment. But generally the Karmakanda section is full of how to satisfy your desires. If you want this, do this. If you want that, do that. Huh? It's therefore an ocean of desires. But when one comes to the higher stage, especially Gyan, then one starts to think that, no, I should just do it. I have to do it. But yes, varnashram means that gradually one is trained that I have to perform my work without the expectation of the reward. Yes.
How is the training working? How do you train it? The Vedic culture is there to train.
Loud.
The Vedic culture is there to train the people to become detached from the self.
How are
they doing that?
How are they doing it? Just like by family tradition, by the instructions of the guru. Guru Kule, what is that? Brahmachari Guru Kule. Vasan Danta Gurur Hisham. Even the king's son would go to the Gurukul, and there he's trained. You just have to work for the benefit of the guru. You go out and beg chapatis, but they don't become your chapatis. You offer them to the guru. And even if he forgets to call you to take prasadam, then you fast, that's all. But in that way they're trained, that I have to control my senses, I have to do what I'm supposed to do.
Brahmacharya is the training.
Brahmacharya. Even in any culture, if it's a high-grade culture, then the people are trained. No, you have to do, this is right, this is wrong. You have to do what's right. Regardless of whether, you know, what you might think, you have to do the right thing. You know, the children are trained. No, this is wrong, you shouldn't do this. You have to do the right thing. No, but it's wrong. Citizens are trained. No, you're not. You can't rob the bank. That's wrong. You can't do this. You can't do that. So that's, they have to be self-controlled, and they have to be, especially the philosophical understanding should be there, or cultural understanding. But I have to do my duty. In the army, it's there. It's instilled in a different way. That just follow orders. You don't even have to think about it. Just, you know, do it. Don't, you know, put aside your fear, put aside your everything, and just do it. Yes?
All those rules and trying to, like in a Vedic culture, ultimately trying to subdue the enjoying spirit either for the jnani who wants liberation or for the bhaktas who wants to transfer his enjoying spirit.
Yeah, to put duty above selfishness, really. Even, you know, there's two brothers or there's a brother and sister. So if somebody gets something, what's the impulse? It's mine. But the parents say, no, you should share this. You should share this. Or even children are trained. You should give to the people who are less fortunate than you. So this is all training. That's not that everything is for you. That you have to do the right thing. What's the right thing? The right thing is to share with the other kids. The right thing is to share with your brothers and sisters. The right thing is to whatever it might be. So the child gets the idea that there are things that I'm supposed to do regardless of whether I want to do them or not, don't want to do them, regardless of whether I like it or don't like it, or good for me or not, you know, whether I'll get something out of it or even lose something. It's called the right thing. I have to do the right thing. So in the Vedic culture, there's very clear direction about dharma. Dharma means the right thing, duty, the thing that I'm supposed to do, dharma.
Even if my happiness doesn't reduce while serving your
doesn't reduce or increase?
Even if it does, I don't know.
Even if it reduces?
Even if it doesn't reduce. It's still the most valuable asset for me. It's my goal and practice.
Even if my happiness reduces?
Even if it doesn't reduce.
Even if my happiness doesn't reduce?
By following your instructions, still I'm going to follow.
That doesn't make sense. Even if my happiness doesn't reduce?
Sorry, even if my suffering doesn't
reduce. Yeah. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if I may suffer less or I may suffer more, but I have to do it. Just like Krishna, when he was a brahmachari, he went out searching for firewood for the guru, and then it began raining, and then they were stranded all night out in the rain. So the guru became pleased that these boys, Krishna and Sudama, they stayed out all night, just dedicating themselves to the service of the guru. So this is training, that we have some duty to perform. We have duty, and duty is more important than gain. The materialistic culture, it's all about gain. What's in it for me? But the culture of Dharma is, what's right for me to do? Fine, okay. Do you want to take a break, a couple minutes?
Yes.
Yeah. You could go in the room for 2 minutes? Okay, we'll take a 3 to 5 minute break and come back.
Oh, whoa.
starts off fallen. That's the difficulty. Okay, we need a bell or something.
Arriba! Arriba! Come!
So we've been talking about working with detachment, and Prabhupada in his purports gives the whole picture. As it's sometimes been said, even scholars complain, you know, that he reads the second chapter in the light of the later chapters. And he does. Prabhupada doesn't just read the second chapter in isolation, but he gives a conclusive understanding. You know, you can say that the second chapter is an introductory chapter, but for Srila Prabhupada, the conclusions come right there in the introduction. So he's explaining that the real way to be equipoise, the real way to be detached, the real way not to care about the result of the work, is to work in devotional service to Krishna. Because then all of these purposes are fully fulfilled. Okay? Durena hyabaram karma. Buddha Yoga Tananjaya. Bhutto Shadanamanvichcha. Kripana Palahetavana. The Durena means, Dur means long distance away. Avaram Karma means abominable activity, nasty activity, sinful activity. Durena, keep that at a far distance. Stay away from that. How? By devotional service, Buddhi Yoga. Buddho Sharanam Anvichcha. And in that intelligence of Krishna consciousness, surrender unto Krishna. And don't be a kripana. What's a kripana?
Miser.
A miser. A person who is attached to the results of his work and makes that the goal of his life. He is a miser. Buddhiyukta jahatiha ubhe sukrita duskrite tasmad yogaya yujasva yoga karmasu kosham. My dear Arjun, you should be engaged in devotional service and in this way become free from sukrita and duskrita. Sukrita means pious activities and duskrita means impious activities. Just be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Yogaya yujasva. You should be engaged in Krishna consciousness. This is yoga karma sukoshalam, the art of all work. Karma sukoshalam. Karma jam buddhiyukta hi palam chatva minishinam janma bandha vinir mukta padam gacchantyanamana. Now this is very important, that people are working to get something, and the result of what they really get is bondage. They become attached because of they become entangled because of their attachment to the result of work. But if someone is working in Krishna consciousness, buddhi yukta, then palam chatva, he gives up that attachment to the result of his work, and janma bandha vinir mukta, he becomes freed from birth and death. And padam gacchanti anamayam, and he reaches that goal where there's no misery, the spiritual world. Any questions about that?
So could we say that by working without attachment for results, we become attached to no results?
By working without attachment to results, we become attached to no results?
Which is the good kind of attachment.
Working without attachment means, that sounds like a verbal game there. But it's not that just simply by working without attachment one becomes attached to Krishna, but it helps one.
Yeah.
If someone's very attached to getting something for enjoyment, what's the situation? Yeah. Ekeha samado navahiyate. Because he's attached to enjoyment. Pogai sharya prasaktanam vyavasayatmika buddhi shamadho navidhiyate. He's attached to material enjoyment, so he can never get the determination to become Krishna conscious. Like, there was one singer who came to see Srila Prabhupada. He was a popular singer in the 1960s. And, he came and he had some questions about spiritual life. But he came with his girlfriend. And, the girlfriend said something, giggled or something, and, like, okay, let's get going. So that was it, He was in the presence of a person who could have given him complete enlightenment on the path of spiritual realization, but his girlfriend, gave him a smile and a giggle, and that was it. He was gone. So it's very hard when we're attached materially to to make spiritual progress. And on the other hand, if someone just cultivates material detachment, he's in a better position for understanding Krishna consciousness. If he doesn't go beyond just being detached, he's stuck, he's stagnant. He, of course, the Maya bodies, that's where they are.
Doesn't he get a higher taste? So that's what I meant.
Yeah, we'll come. You don't automatically get that higher taste. Well, you do. You get some, actually, that detachment from fruitive results is in the mode of goodness. So by coming to the mode of goodness, you get a higher sense. And what is that? Sattvam Bhavato Jnanam. By coming to the mode of goodness, you develop knowledge. By coming to the mode of goodness, you develop knowledge. So, goodness, and what in goodness you get means passion is less. There's a sense of acting according to duty. There's a sense of freedom from all these longings and desires and so on. That's all favorable for devotional service. But if you don't take up devotional service, then you're still stuck. So it's a favorable precondition. Or it's a favorable condition. But it's not sufficient. Simply to be in the mode of goodness is not the goal. And will not... is not the goal. And will not automatically bring us to devotional service. Probably you've studied that, or soon will study that in Nectar of Devotion. What's the cause of devotional service? What's the cause of devotional service?
Suffering.
Huh?
Mercy.
It's what?
Mercy.
Nothing?
Mercy.
Mercy. Mercy means?
Krishna,
he
gives it.
Yeah. What causes devotional service? What does devotional service arise from?
Taste.
Sadhusanga.
So she had it right. Devotional service comes from devotional service. You can't get devotional service by jnanam. You can't get devotional service by pious activities. You can't get devotional service by austerity. You can't get devotional service simply by study of the Vedas. But when we come in touch with devotional service, then we can get devotional service.
But no taste must be there, if there is no taste.
Where do you get the taste from?
And where did you get the first devotional service from?
From the person who has it.
Previous
by his mercy.
Huh? No, you don't have devotional service, but if someone else has devotional service and engages you, then you get devotional service. You didn't have any electricity, but you know, you touched the wire, now you're electrified.
Maharaj, previous birth?
Previous birth means that you must have already begun devotional service. But how did you get it?
Brilliant.
Just taking birth doesn't give you devotional service. Well, I took 100 births and now I'm engaged in devotional service. You can go on for millions of births and not get devotional service. We have to come in touch with devotional service. Yeah, mercy means that not just that someone's kind to you, but that a devotee is kind to you. That's the mercy. You get the mercy of a karmi, or the mercy of a jnani, or the mercy of a maya body. They have, you know, some kind of mercy, but they don't have devotional service, so they can't give devotional service.
Taking mercy of maya body is harmful, or is not
recommended.
What about speech? Having speech.
Okay. You just said faith. What about faith?
That is, if you don't have faith, somewhere along the line, you cannot say, you're doing this because you don't have faith.
Yeah, but how do you get faith?
By mercy.
Yeah, by coming in touch with a devotee, and somehow the devotee, you know, builds up some faith by his association. He has faith, and by his association, you get some faith.
What is the faith that Ado Shraddha?
Beginning is faith, but where do you get that faith? You know, you didn't have faith. I mean, did you have faith in Krishna consciousness before you came? How did you get some faith?
Some faith in God.
You had some faith in God. A lot of people didn't. You know, they just had faith in something else. Loud. Agyata Sukriti. Agyata Sukriti means that you unknowingly came in touch with what? Devotional service. Okay. So now, Yidate Moha Kalilam, Budhir Vyatitarishati, Tadagantasi Nirvedam, Shrotavyasya Shutasyacha. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you'll be indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. What does that mean?
Well, in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada referring to the...
Don't tell me what it says in the purport. What's the idea?
What the masses are propagating is the right way to live.
Yes.
Many intelligence is passed out of dense forest.
It's not by popular. It's just it's the truth is the truth. Not what everyone else says it might be.
Yes, true. Not what everybody else says it might be. Specifically?
There are many things to develop the consciousness.
Specifically, man doesn't care about all this Vedic stuff. The context is, you can go to heaven, all these flowery words, you can, you know, all the virgins are there for you, or, you know, the Nanda Kanana gardens and Soma Ras. You can live with the gods and have a lifetime that's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't care. Not interested. Thanks a lot. Don't care. Becomes indifferent to all this stuff that you hear, pushpitam vacham. He doesn't care about all these flowery words. And that's mentioned in the purport by quoting from Madhavendra Puri, Sandhya Vandana Bhadramastu Bhavato Bho Snanatu Vyam Namo Ho Deva Pitaras Chatarpana Vito Naham Kshamas Kshamyatam Yatra Kvapi Nishadya Yadava Pulo Tamasya Tamsadvisaha Smaram Smaram Adham Harami Taralam Anyekim Anyename. He's saying that in the Vedic culture there are all these things you have to do. There's prayers three times a day and bathing regularly and chanting all these mantras and worshipping the demigods and rituals to honor the forefathers. You know, there's all these Vedic rituals that you do so that you get pious credit so that you go to heaven. And Madhavendra Puri says, goodbye. Rituals, goodbye. Prayers, goodbye. Bathing, please accept my humble obeisances, but I'm not interested in you anymore. Now I'm simply interested in remembering Krishna. And I think that's enough. This is another, if we had our little board, our projector, we don't have it here, this is another mis-editing. In the first edition it said, Oh Lord, in my prayers three times a day, all glory to you. Bathing, I offer my obeisances to you, O Lord. Completely misread the intention. The obeisances are not offered to the Lord. The obeisances are offered to the prayers, to the bathing, to the rituals. I offer my obeisances to you, prayers, because I'm going to, you know, I'm heading out. Forget it. I'm not interested in you anymore. That's the actual, what Prabhupada's actually saying. The same verse appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. There it's done right. So indifferent, Shrotavyasya Shrutasya, he's no longer interested in the flowery words of the Vedas and all of these rituals and, you know, you spin around three times and throw water over your left shoulder and say three Hail Marys and, you know, whatever it is. He's now Ekeha. His mind is fixed on Krishna and devotional service to Krishna. And he's no longer interested in all of these rituals for gradual elevation. Shruti vipratipanna te yada stasyati nishchala samadha vachala buddhis pira yogam avatsi. Now it's made quite explicit. He's not interested in these flowery words of the Vedas because he's attained samadhi, which is the purpose of the Vedas. All the Vedas are to attain this state of complete absorption of the mind in the Supreme. And when one gets that, he's no longer interested in all these pious rituals and so many things.
Maharaj?
Yeah.
I want to understand this text 52. What is an example? Like, what example after one goes through all this?
Just like you find the people who are pious Brahmins. And they're, you know, they're doing their puja, they're worshipping their demigods, they're doing, you know, they go and they, you know, they give food to some unfortunate person every day, and then they do, you know, so many rituals that they do, and on Tuesday they fast for this god, and on Thursday they fast for that god, and they observe some strict vow for this, and they do something else. You know, they're doing all of these things because they know that it's pious. And by doing these pious things, they'll get elevation. Their goal is that we'll get punya. And what is punya? That maybe we'll go to the heavenly planets. If we don't go to heaven, at least when we come back here, we'll get a good birth. We'll be born in a good family. It's very nice when you see people, you know, certainly better than impious. You know, in the West, people are generally impious. Yeah. In India is very, very pious. People are going through so much inconvenience, going to the Kumbh Mela, millions of people, because they know that it's pious. And they, you know, they all want to bathe at the particular moment when the nectar is dropping from heaven so that they can be freed from their sins. And generally their idea is they'll go to heaven.
But still they're stuck. Like.
But still they're stuck. They don't think that my real only purpose should be to serve Krishna. But rather they're thinking, you know, that by my punya, may my wife be healthy, may my son's education be good, may the income be all right, may the business go well. That person, you know, the shopkeeper, he's opening, it's a simple thing, not a Brahmin, but he's a shopkeeper. First thing he does is puja, right? He opens his shop and he does a little, waves some agarbatti before Ganesh or whichever, Lord Shiva or somebody. That, why? The business will go well. You know, that by my pious life, I'm doing my religious duty, and enough money will come, everything will be nice. So, that's good, but really, he's still stuck in the material existence, just on the pious side of material existence instead of the impious side. So better to be pious than impious, but impious is still stuck. Pious is still stuck in this material world. And what to speak of the Brahmins, you know, they're more pious. They're more pious. Their whole life is dedicated to pious activities. But, you know, they're studying the Vedas and they're undergoing tapasya and they're cultivating, you know, saintly qualities and so on. But if they don't devote themselves to Krishna, so maybe he came along. There's a waste of their, they missed the point. So here, even the self-realized person doesn't even care about the Vedas in terms of the Vedic rituals and all of this, because he's got the purpose of the Vedas. He's dedicated to Krishna. Yeah.
Manoj, if a person do pious activity also and do service to Krishna also, what is his position?
Mixed. He worships Krishna, but it's still on Tuesday he fasts for Durga, and on Thursday he fasts for Ganesha. And so he's called, that's called Karma Mishra Bhakti. Devotional service, but at the same time, he's mixed all this other stuff. He's covering all his bases. He's doing bhakti to Krishna, but he's also keeping a little something here, a little something there. How can he go to Krishna when he's still attached? He doesn't want to go to Krishna, really. He wants material prosperity also. So it's Mishra. One goes back to Godhead by pure devotional service. So he still has to make more progress. Huh?
He's not fully surrendered.
He's not fully surrendered.
So he'll have to take up where he left off.
It's good he's doing some devotion, something to Krishna, but because it's not completely focused on Krishna, he hasn't yet become eligible to achieve the goal.
When he stops to worship all these others, will he still get everything he wants?
That and more. Krishna bhakti koilo sarva karma tukohai. Whatever good results you could get by worshipping the demigods, you'll get that, you'll get better by worshipping Krishna. Vedeshu yageshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam adyeti yat sarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam upaiti chaiva. In the... what chapter is that? Eighth chapter. It said that whatever you could get from studying the Vedas, by doing yajna, vedeshu, yajneshu, by tapasya, by charity, punya palam, whatever pious results you could get, adyeti. Adyeti means one attains that, or it means one surpasses that. Yat sarvam idam, all of it. A yogi, param sthanam upaiti chaiva. And he goes back to the supreme destination. You never lose by surrendering to Krishna. Now sometimes Krishna may take away your material assets, but that's also a gain. If I have a 100-degree fever and you take 4 degrees off it, have I lost something or have I gained something? Yeah, so the question is that just when I'm saying doing the same thing I'm doing. Okay, no, that's all right. Just one more. Okay.
Sometimes Indians are to so how do you make them understand that Krishna is actually reducing your fever on the field?
You have to somehow or other get them to that understanding. That you're thinking that you're going to be the loser, but actually you're the winner. If Krishna takes away your disease, oh, I lost my disease. Good for you. You know, people are like that, you know, they don't want to be released from their chains. They're so used to their chains that they can't imagine living without them. That's called the covering potency of mind. You know the story about Indra becoming a pig. So it's like that. You know, this pig was thinking, you know, I have everything. And when it was all taken away, he was distraught, but actually it was for his benefit. Okay? Now, yes? So we've come here. Now we come to a new section. We'll just peek at it. We'll continue it tomorrow if we're running short on time. But Arjun raises a question that he raises several times in Bhagavad Gita. It comes up in the 14th chapter, comes up a couple places. That what are the symptoms of a self-realized person? Samadhi stasya. You've talked about samadhi. You've talked about having a fixed mind, being completely absorbed, being transcendental. Citta pragya. Pragya. Pragya means... Gya means what?
Knowing.
And what does pra mean?
Realizing.
Pra means what? Who was here earlier in the class?
Ultra.
Pra means ultra.
That is realizing.
Intensely. So pragya, one who intensely knows, one who has ultra knowledge. Pragya, realized knowledge, or Prabhupada says situated in Krishna consciousness. Pragya, stitta pragya, situated in pragya, realization. What is he like? Stitta pragyasya ka bhasha. How does he speak? Because we want, you know, we judge a person by how he speaks, how he walks, how he sits, how he can, you know, how can I tell? What does he speak like? Prabhasheta. What is his language? How does he sit? Asita. Vrajeta. How does he walk? What are the symptoms of the self-realized person? How can you tell? So he's thinking in terms of some external symptoms. You know, that you'll see him and you'll know. Right? As soon as I saw him, I knew he was... You know, what are the symptoms? How does he walk? How does he speak? How does he sit? Arjuna's asking that question. How can I tell a really self-realized person? That's the question here. Stitta pragyasya ka bhasha samadhi stasya keshava stitta dhi, one who's fixed, and dhi means intelligence. Stitta dhi, one who's fixed in his mind, akha guru nandana. How can I tell such a person? What are the symptoms? What are the signs? What are the clues? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. We'll just start on this, but we will deal with it more tomorrow. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmanyevatmana tushta stitta pragyastadochita. Nothing about how he sits, nothing about how he walks, nothing about how he speaks, nothing about his language, nothing about any of this. My dear Arjuna, forget all that stuff. That's not what it's about. And now in the coming section, he'll explain in several verses what the symptoms are of a person who's stitta pragya, a person who's actually self-realized. And the first system is prajahati yada kama. He gives up all desires, sarvan, all, sarvan partha manogatan, which come from where?
Mental
concoction. Mental concoction. Krishna says, It's all in the mind. All of these ideas, oh, I would be so happy if this, oh, I would be so happy if that. It's all in the mind.
This is pran, two of the words.
Huh?
Prajahati and...
Yeah, he gives up. Prajahati. Really gives it up.
Really gives it up. And prajya. Sthita prajya.
Yes, sthita prajya. That word will be repeated again and again. These are the symptoms of the first symptom. Right away, Krishna says, first symptom is, gives up all desires that are just coming out of the mind. I'd like to be a fireman when I grow up. I'd like to be a businessman. I was seeing some yearbook. I was staying at somebody's house, and they had their high school yearbook. So, you know, the pictures are there, and, you know, I want to be a fireman. I want to have my own garage so I can fix my own cars and fix other people's cars too. I want to be rich and famous. I want to meet Mr. Right and have lots of kids. I want to, you know, all these ideas about what would make them happy. And it's all monogaton. It's all coming out of the mind. We know in advance, you know, from our position in Krishna consciousness, we look at it and say, wow, pathetic. These kids think they're going to be happy by, you know, the kid's going to be happy by having his own garage. Or by that she's going to be happy because she meets Mr. Right and has lots of kids. Or that he's going to be happy by being rich and famous. Or by having his own band. Or by, you know, they've got so many mental concoctions about happiness. And it's illusion. It's produced by, it's just there in the mind. And as soon as the illusion wears off, the happiness disappears. They're thinking, this is called Maya. They're thinking that something is happiness when it's only because of the mind. And Blake, the English poet, said that the mind can make heaven of hell and hell of heaven. You know, you could be in the nicest situation, and if your mind is down, you say, you know, lousy place, what are we doing here? Let's get out of here. And the lousiest place, and if your mind, no, let me in, we can be, this is a great place. It's all mental concoction. It's all mental concoction. Someone is thinking money is good. Someone thinking money is bad. It's all mental concoction. It's neither good nor bad. One of my favorite stories, extra grades for anyone who knows the source of it. It's a short story I read when I was a kid, and I haven't been able to find since. But it's a story about a ventriloquist. You know, everyone knows what a ventriloquist is?
No.
Ventriloquists are those people who can throw their voices. So they're like, they have a little wooden dummy sitting on their lap, and the dummy is talking. But actually it's the ventriloquist is talking, but he's not moving his lips, and he throws his voice in such a way that seems like the dummy is talking. There's some famous ventriloquist. Anyway, that's what a ventriloquist is. And they're, you know, they're popular. And usually there's jokes, you know, the little dummy says, you know, how come you're so this and that? And he, shut up, you know. They have a whole act. So there was one ventriloquist who came to town. So some woman, she was like a very, like a sweeping woman or a cleaning woman, a very kind of ordinary woman. And somehow she, I guess she was working at the theater, or maybe that's what it was, but somehow anyway, the ventriloquist came to town, and she would slip into the theater through, you know, this one of the doors. After the show had begun, she would slip in and see the show. Because the ventriloquist was like this tall, handsome guy, and she just fell in love with him. And every night she would just slip in, and you know, just, you know how women are, they're just like, swooning over this guy. And then she would slip out again just before the end of the show and go home or whatever it was that she was supposed to do. And I forget, maybe it was the last night of the show or something, she screwed up her courage, and instead of going home, she went through the stage door to actually meet him. And this scene is very vividly described. It was quite a good piece of fiction. She goes in through the stage door, and she finds out that the tall, handsome guy that she was attracted to is the dummy. And the little, you know, miserable little creature on his lap, that's the ventriloquist. It's described nicely how the tall, handsome dummy falls over on the floor and his glass eyeball rolls down the floor. You know, in that way, I've got another one too. This is on my computer, so you get to, this time is up, but you get to, this is another instance of Monogaton. I don't know if you've seen this one, but if you haven't, you might like it. It takes about 30 seconds. So you have to gather around behind me, and then you get to see this. No sound to this, just a video with no sound. Now, yeah, this. Okay, hold on a second. Here we go. Let's get this stopped for a second. So that is the beginning. Open it up. Everyone can see? Oh, you want to see it? Okay, we'll show it again. If you haven't seen this, maybe? This is an example of Monogaton. Is it probably like Gita?
You know what it
is.